Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And today, we are tackling an issue. Sometimes it gets to be dealer's choice. And since I'm the host, you know, I am a gardening aficionado. Not very good at it, so that's why I can use the help, all the expert help I can get. And that's why we have our expert today in to talk about what to do with gardening and where you can go with gardening and maybe how to get started or maybe how to advance your skills. And so we're so pleased to have here on the show Sharon Harding Shaw, who's a member of the family that is responsible for Harding Nursery. So Sharon, welcome to The Extra.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So, Sharon, I know this nursery has been in your family's hands for about the past like six decades. So, why don't you tell us a little bit about your nursery, how it's grown, how it's been a part of your life?
It really has been part of my life. I was born into the nursery business. The nursery was started in 1957 by my mom and dad. And they continued to live on the nursery, which is 721 North Powers Boulevard. And so now it is myself, my sister, my husband, our children, our daughter and son-in-law that run the in-town operations. Our son, Dustin Shaw, who helps run the farm production, and we have a field in Idaho as well. So we have expanded just as a family would grow and expand. The nursery has really grown and expanded over the years. We grow a lot of our own plant material. We grow about 150,000 perennials that we sell here at the nursery. From seed or cuttings, we start them in seed flats or cells and up them into larger containers and end up selling them here. This is really good for our customers because they are already prepared for our soils. We use a little bit heavier soil to help retain moisture, and they're already climatized. We ship in a lot of plant material as well. We have, at 721 Powers, we have 12 acres of product to offer to customers, from bald and burlapped large trees, like 2-inch caliper that are like 12 to 14 foot tall, up to 3-inch caliper, evergreen trees, 6 foot up to, you know, 15 foot. So we have the large trees as well as small ones in containers. And we grow a lot of those at our growing field, which is 20 miles east of Colorado Springs on the Ellicott Highway. And so we have about 160 acres in field production. And we grow spruce, white fir, ponderosa pine, Austrian pine, limber pine, Bosnian pine, all the different spruces, fat Alberts, all the grafted varieties,
fat Alberts,
baby blue eyes, hoop's eye, and of course the native regular Colorado blue spruce. And then in addition to that, we have about 10 acres of container production where we grow shrubs. And there again, we start a lot of our shrubs from cuttings, and our propagation on a lot of that is actually on Powers Boulevard. And then we finish them either in here or we take them out to our growing farm or buy liners in and pot them up and grow the shrubs. And there again, this is really good for our customers because we use a heavier soil, and they are grown in the container for a couple of years before they are offered to sell. So, anyway, you asked
sounds ambitious.
And what do we do?
Well,
and
I know
plants
that
and sell plants.
And I know that the popularity of gardening just keeps growing. And do the customers' needs, have you seen them over the years change when they come in there and they're asking questions or asking to be directed to certain kinds of plants, you know, indoor, outdoor? Does that change?
Oh, it does change. Things trend through the years. Like I said, we've been in business since 1957. So, you know, we have seen the really introduction of perennial flowers to where people use them in their gardening. We've seen the introduction of ornamental grasses to use in their landscapes. And so those are somewhat trending things. You know, 50 years ago, nobody planted ornamental grasses in their landscapes, nor did they plant many perennials. So I think things are always improving, and we get more and more varieties, hardy varieties, things that customers are going to have success with, things that are maybe more drought tolerant, yet colorful. And those are all good things for our area.
Right, right. Well, we're going to open up the phone lines, Sharon, and we're going to get some questions in from our listeners. So hopefully some people have questions. I have plenty of questions if they don't call in. But the number to call is 719-473-1240. Again, that's 719-473-1240. And Sharon, before we go to break, I mean, so we're in the depths of winter. We're going to talk about when we come back, you know, ways to get prepped for spring planting and such. But what about, I mean, if people are just craving a bit of green inside their homes during the dreary days of winter and early spring, what about indoor gardening? Are there any suggestions you can make right now?
Oh, there are a lot of options on that. But we have got these little windowsill herb gardens. And they come with the little trays and the seeds, and you plant them, and you actually start your herb garden right in your windowsill. And then in a couple of weeks, you've got chives and parsley and cilantro and oregano to use fresh in your cooking. And they smell so good, even if you're not using them every day in your cooking, if you put them in your windowsill, like in your kitchen, and you just scrunch them, you have the wonderful aroma of the herbs.
I love that. That sounds great. And those will keep going all summer long, or should you plant them outside then?
Oh, you can move them outside as the weather allows, or you can just keep cutting them back and letting them regrow in their little containers. We also have a windowsill gardening that is microgreens gardening. And so it's got different lettuces and greens that are good for a person, but they're fun to grow. And you can snip them and mix them in with your smoothies, or you can mix them in with your salad, or you can eat them plain. So that's another fun thing to have growing in your windowsill.
Well, and that sounds like a good project for parents who are having those kids who are still at home, or maybe they're on remote learning. What a good project, because it kind of will keep their attention, you know, every day they can check on the progress. All right. Our guest today is Sharon Harding Shaw of Harding Nursery. And you've probably seen their signs or heard their ads right here on KRDO News Radio. We're very pleased that they're an advertiser. But if you haven't had a chance to check out their nursery, do you have different hours during the winter time, Sharon?
Right now we are open 8 to 4:30 Monday through Friday for January and February, and then March 1st we're open 7 days a week.
Well, that's when people really get the green thumbs going. We need to take a short break here, but again, the phone lines are open. If you have a question for our gardening expert, Sharon Harding Shaw, who is joining us on the Vision Home Loans Newsline, the number to call is 719-473-1240, 473-1240. You're listening to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back. Well, we right now are hoping that someone has a gardening question, but I certainly have plenty. Our expert today is Sharon Harding Shaw, and the phone lines are open if you have a gardening question, want to get started on it. 719-473-1240 is our phone line number. So give a call and you can pose your question to Sharon Harding Shaw. All right. So Sharon, let's talk about vegetables. A lot of people like to grow vegetables. When should you be, I mean, in Colorado, it's so difficult to plan when you should be planting them indoors or out. What should you be doing?
Well, right now is an excellent time to start planning your vegetable garden. You can go ahead and plan for the layout of it. You can prepare the soil and get it ready so that all you have to do is a quick rototill in the spring when you're ready to plant your seeds in the garden. And right now is when you start planting your tomatoes and peppers indoors. We are starting ours right now that we will offer for sale. And so tomatoes and peppers are not a plant that you can have success with as easily by planting the seeds in the ground, because they're just a longer day length for harvest. So we start ours early, and you can too if you would like to. We have the little covered greenhouses with the little cells in them that you can start. We have little Jiffy professional greenhouse squares that are little trays and have the little humidome over them. And so you can start your tomatoes and peppers now. You can start your herbs. You can either do like the windowsill herb gardening, or you can start them in the little liner pots or even the little Jiffy tabs that have everything in it to start them. So really it's a fun time right now that you can figure out what you actually want to grow in your garden and plan ahead so you're not behind the gun, you know, or really feeling the pressure in the spring to get everything done, because there are so many things you can do now to get prepared so that it's just more enjoyable to do your garden.
Right. And so there are years where we have great years for tomatoes, years where everyone around is saying, oh, I didn't get a single tomato off my plants. What accounts for that?
Well, weather. You can have, you know, weather is going to play a big part in that. But really starting with a good product, either starting with good, healthy liners that you have grown yourself, or like ones that we have grown in the greenhouse here, so that when you plant them out, you know, and you don't want to plant your tomatoes and peppers out until the ground soil is going to be fairly warm. You're not going to want to plant them out till, oh, towards the end of May. You know, the average frost-free date here is May 15th, but that soil temperature takes a little longer for it to come up to where it doesn't shock your tomatoes and peppers. But there are things that you can, like, you can go ahead and plant them out. And then we have products that are like Walls of Water is a brand name, but you fill these tubes with water. It fits down over the plant, and it helps retain heat around the root and keep your plants from freezing. So you can plant those out with your plants when you plant them early on to, you know, have success with your tomatoes and peppers. The weather, you know, if it's cloudy, real rainy, it's going to slow down their production. If it's really windy or hot and you're going to get your little leaves burned in the wind, that's difficult. Of course, hail. We sell a product called hail cloth that you can actually put over your vegetable garden. The sunlight goes through it, rain goes through it, but the hail does not. So those are some of the things that you can do to help ensure success with your vegetable gardening. Your soil preparation really is the number one critical thing for having a successful garden. You want to add organic matter, peat moss, manure, things like that, compost that really enrich the soil. If you have a real heavy soil, you can add vermiculite or perlite to kind of lighten it up so you get better root growth in your carrots and parsnips, beets, turnips, things like that. So really preparing an excellent soil for your plants to grow in, and that's something you can do right now and get that enriched and really ready to go. So those are probably the key factors, and of course watering them, keeping consistent water so that they're not getting too dry and then too wet. You want consistent watering daily, consistent sunshine. You don't want to water them really at night and have the water stand around the base of the plant during the night, or the water standing on the leaves during the night. You want to do it early enough in the day that they evaporate, the water evaporates off the leaves so that you reduce your exposure to fungus.
Okay. And speaking of that, because I have a problem with my tomatoes, and it seems like it's every year that I have this problem, so I don't know what it is, if it's a fungus or what, but I get black spots on my tomatoes that eventually start rotting, and even though I can cut it out, you know, sometimes it's an entire half of the tomato or a quarter of the tomato that is needing to be removed because of the black spot that's expanded into some sort of yuckiness. When we come back, we need to take a short break here, Sharon, but when we come back, I'll ask you about that and about landscaping. I mean, we're going into, I think, a time when a lot of people are maybe moving into new homes and maybe need to start their landscaping from scratch, or maybe they're looking at redoing them. We'll talk about that when we return. The phone lines are open. Despite my best efforts to keep the onslaught of callers from crowding our phone lines, apparently we're having the opposite problem. So again, the number is 719-473-1240. Give us a call here on The Extra. We're talking to gardening expert Sharon Harding Shaw. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to our show, a preview of what you can expect for the gardening season ahead and things you can do right now to get yourself into the gardening way. And we're joined by our guest from Harding Nursery, Sharon Harding Shaw, a member of the family that is the backbone of nursery providers here in the Colorado Springs Pikes Peak region. And we did have two callers on the line on the Vision Home Loans Newsline, but it sounds like we lost Jeff. So Jeff, please call in again, but Kathy is on the line. So Kathy, what is your question for our expert today?
Definitely been having some issues, especially with my squash plants. I'm big on zucchini last year, and I also planted spaghetti squash. So the plants always start out really nice and hardy and green. And then they just kind of, the leaves start to die off and they're just not as hardy. What my main thing this past year was my spaghetti squash. I did get two spaghetti squash off my plant, but it was just off one runner. Like I just had one runner come out of the ground, and it really didn't have much of a plant that was sitting on top of the ground. But the two spaghetti squash that I had on my runner, they grew to normal size. They looked fine. But when I opened them up and tried to cook them, they definitely had a really bitter taste. Wasn't sweet at all. And then ooh. I did Google it, and it did say that there wasn't much nutrients in the soil. And so I think that's probably the big reason for the rest of my plants that really didn't survive too much. They would start out really good. My cucumber started out good. My other squash and my tomatoes would start out real good. But then after a few weeks or a month, it just seems like they just kind of started to go downhill. My tomatoes would get spots on them and start to rot. So I don't know if you have any ideas I can do this winter to richen my soil for the summer.
Well, yeah, there's several different things we'll talk about here. We're going to talk with the spots on your tomatoes first, because that can be from calcium deficiency in your soil. So the day you plant your tomatoes, you're going to want to mix in some calcium into the soil, and then you're going to reapply that every 3 weeks or so through the season. And that's going to help prevent those black spots on your tomatoes. Now, on your vegetable, your cucumbers and your squash, you may be dealing with some fungus or fusarium blight or powdery mildew. There's a lot of different things that it could be affecting your vegetables. But the better you have your soil prepared, you know, you'll want to have good, like, depends on what your soil base is that you're starting with. If it's a real sandy soil, then you want to add peat moss and organic matter that is going to help retain moisture. If you have a heavy clay soil, then you actually want to add things that are going to let the soil drain. So you can add perlite and things that, even some sandy topsoil to help break up the heavy clay to enlarge your soil particles so that you get drainage. But you want to add with good nutrition soils, so peat mosses, composts, manure, things like that, decomposed manure, anything that's over 6 months old. And then you want to fertilize your soil. And you don't want to do that too far ahead of planting your garden because it will deplete, you know, through the drainage of leaching of the moisture going down through it. You will lose your nutrients even before you plant it if you do it too far ahead. But you can get all the soil ready, but then add your fertilizer right before you plant. And, you know, there's organic fertilizers if you're wanting to do organic gardening, or there are commercial fertilizers, like for vegetable gardens, or our Harding's Nursery Special is a 12-9-14, very nice, well-balanced fertilizer. And those are longer-lasting fertilizers. Now, things that are very quick release, like a water-soluble fertilizer, those only last like a week. So I'm wondering almost if you are using a potting soil possibly in your garden that has a water-soluble fertilizer and it's just depleted in a week or two and you'll need to reapply fertilizer. So I like some of the longer acting fertilizers. You had mentioned you have bitter tasting squash. There are soil additives and nutrients that you can add to your gardening. One of them is molasses, dried molasses, and that helps enrich your soil. It's used in organic gardening to improve your soil. But the thing that I notice, and I notice that I can tell the most on the lettuce, is if I have not sprinkled dry molasses in my garden and I pick a meal of lettuce and we eat it, and everybody's going, oh, that lettuce is kind of bitter. The next day I go out and I sprinkle the dry molasses and work it into the soil just with a claw because the plants are already up. And in, you know, a few days, the plants have absorbed that and they are much mellower and more pleasant to the taste.
Wow. Wow. So it can work that quickly in essence.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kathy, did that answer your questions?
I think so. Yeah, thank you. So I'm just wondering, how often can you add the dried molasses? Because like I said, the squash, you know, the spaghetti squash, they start to grow. And, of course, it's a few weeks before you can pick it. So would I just add the dry molasses to the plant before I start?
I would add it to the soil. I would add it to the soil before you plant. And I would re-add it about every 3 to 4 weeks and just kind of work it into the soil. You may be dealing with fungus also. And so there again, you want good drained soil. You want the water to drain away from the base of the plant. You don't want the water to sit at the base. You don't want to water in the evening and have the water sit on the leaves overnight. And it's really important that you keep dead and decaying leaves and debris cleaned up, especially on your tomato plants, because and you can add mulch even under your plants, because when you're watering, the water splashes down, hits the soil, and bounces back up and lands on the stems and leaves. Well, if there was a bacteria or fungus in the soil prior, it's going to bounce off the soil and back up onto the plant. So, you know, you can put ground cloth down. It helps reduce your weeding. You can add a mulch under your plants after they're grown a little bit. Those are all things that are going to help keep the water from the soil bouncing up onto the leaves and reduce your fungus and, you know, reduce your bad leaves and dying leaves.
Okay, well, some good answers there, and it's just spawned more questions in my head. So when we come back, let's talk aphids. Let's talk some bugs, okay, Sharon? And again, the phone line is open if anyone would like to give a call. The number is 719-473-1240. We'll get you in so you can get your question answered by our expert joining us today, Sharon Harding Shaw of Harding Nursery. You're listening to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. Again, the phone line, 719-473-1240. Give us a call. Welcome back, and we're talking with Sharon Harding Shaw of Harding Nursery. And Sharon, I just want to give a shout out to our listeners again. I thought we'd be bombarded with calls, but maybe people aren't quite ready to start thinking about gardening. You know, when the snow's on the ground, it does tend to keep your mind on skiing, maybe not gardening. But the number is 719-473-1240. We have one final segment here, so make a call soon if you want to get a question answered. So Sharon, we were talking about, what did you call it, bacteria in the garden, fungus, but how about aphids and bugs in the garden? They can cause a lot of havoc, and deer too.
Well, yeah, deer are a whole nother issue, but on the insects, if you really have, you know, you're going to have some insects on your vegetable plants, so depends on how organic of a garden you want to have. A lot of it you can wash off with water to be persistent, just kind of forceful water washing them off. There are organic sprays that will control aphids and some of the funguses. Neem oil is one of them. We carry several products that are geared towards organic gardening. Captain Jack's, neem oil, Natria, and then we carry Fertilome products as well. And so within those, there's ones that are geared for crawling caterpillar type insects. Others are the flying insects, and then some of them cross over, like the neem oil, to take care of insects and some of the funguses. So there are multiple ways to address that. The main thing is keeping the dead leaves and dead debris out from under your plants so that you don't have that harboring insects and debris and fungus in that. So those are some of the things you can use. And then for the deer, you know, on a vegetable garden, really you're going to have to probably just fence them out is going to be your safest, especially if you have rabbits as well. But we do sell products. Now, you'd have to keep the products at a perimeter. We have granule ones that you sprinkle on the ground to keep deer away, and they work very well, but you wouldn't want your vegetable plants taking up that bitter taste. So you would use that as a perimeter type thing. And there again, you wouldn't want to spray your vegetable plants with a deer repellent because it would, you know, cause your vegetable to taste awful. So, you know, keeping them at a perimeter, either with the granule that you put down to keep deer away and spraying, or just literally fencing them out of a vegetable garden, is going to be your most sure way to guard against the deer.
Are there certain plants that the deer just don't like? Because that's what I want to plant. Plants that say, don't eat me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there are different plants you can plant in amongst your vegetables that they don't like. There's flowers like marigolds that insects and deer don't really care for. You can interplant some of those as well. But, if they're hungry enough, they will eat a lot of things. But on your shrubs and trees, there's a lot of them that are deer. They're on the less browsed by deer list. It doesn't mean that they will never rub on them or chew on them, but less browsed by because they don't like their taste or smell as well. And we have lists of those that you can come in and get. I have annual lists, perennial flower lists, trees, shrubs. And so, yeah, there's all kinds of plants that they don't choose usually.
We have time for just one Q&A, and I'm going to ask it, and I'm hoping you can answer this in the short time that we have. We only have maybe a couple minutes here, Sharon, but as more and more people are transitioning to more drought-tolerant or xeriscape landscaping in their yards, what are your favorite plants, shrubs, or trees to be installing, to be putting in the ground?
Well, there are, xeriscaping is a method of how you plant. You put water-requiring plants together. So you can have plants that take a little bit more water, as well as the ones that, after they are established, will basically live on our natural rainfall here in Colorado. But some of my favorites are butterfly bushes, Russian sage, because I just love all the color through the summer. I like rabbit brush because you get the nice fall color of the blooms. And I like the silver gray foliages. And in the perennials, a lot of the silver gray foliages and sedums are very drought tolerant as well. And that gives you a lot of color when they come into bloom. And then you have the texture for interest on the plant itself to add into your landscape or perennial garden.
Wow, so a lot of selection, but like you said, you have some of those lists over at Harding Nursery, so people can go there, peruse your lists. I'm guessing that all of your landscapers and nursery workers there are very forthcoming with any answers to specific questions that customers might have, right?
We are. We have certified nursery professionals on staff, and so they're very well versed and very knowledgeable about specific, questions, as well as helping people start planning. Now is like an excellent time to be planning whatever gardens of interest that you might want to have for the summer, a hummingbird garden or butterfly garden, perennial garden. So now's the time to plan that out and figure out where you want it to go and, the different colors that you want to incorporate. This is a fun time because you can just plan and look up and come in and get, the handouts that we have on how to design your perennial garden or butterfly garden or any of your specialty gardens. And then, of course, right now is a really important time to be winter watering because that really is the key to plant success here in Colorado. And anytime it's above 40 degrees, you can get out there and water your trees and shrubs and perennials, roses, and that needs to happen at least a couple times each month. So that's
okay. Oh, that's good to know.
Thing to do right now.
Otherwise, they just dry out, huh? That's not good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Yeah, we don't like dead plants, but I have had my more than my share of them over the years. So this has been a wonderful time for us to share with our listeners ways to get into gardening and to start their preparations in anticipation of what's likely to be another busy spring and summer of gardening, because boy, during the pandemic, did people start looking to gardening as a way to, you know, have some recreation and get them outside. So our guest today, Sharon Harding Shaw of Harding Nursery, and just want to let you know that the Harding Nursery is located right off Platt and Powers. You've probably seen the signs, and you can also give them a call. And Sharon, what's the number to call?
719-596-5712.
And you can also find them on their website, HardingNursery.com. To our guest today, Sharon, thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me.